guess it's good when you preach and you can ask Miss Linda to play a song and she can whip it up in 5 seconds and make it happen. And I'm very appreciative of that. I enjoy worshiping with you guys this morning. I won't take too long. I promise you I won't. It's like I told you earlier. You're here anyway. You might as well pay attention and pretend like I'm going to say something. You might get 3 seconds of something that God actually gave me this morning, and that would be worth it. So you're here, so you might. That's what I tell my students all the time, right? If you're going to be here, might as well be here. Leave the other stuff at the door. You got here however you got here. So if God can loose one thing in you this morning, that's enough, and it's enough to change the world. It really is. It really, really is. But what I wanted to talk to you about this morning, I don't really have a title. I don't know if you're supposed to title your sermons or not, or teachings, but I don't. But I do want to, it'll be crowd participation early, okay? It's different, okay? It'll be crowd participation, or not much, just need you to raise a hand. Robert, can you throw my little slide? I got a visual this morning, I have a visual. A whole slide right there. All right, I want you to look at these two circles. Examine them, study them, find their similarities and their differences. All right? Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that one of these circles is bigger than the other one. Okay? One of the circles is bigger than the other one. I want you guys to find out which one you think that is. Okay? Whether it's the blue or the red one. Don't think about it too much. All right? Now, raise your hand if you think the red circle is bigger than the blue circle. Looks like we're going to have a lot of blues. What about the blue circle? Bigger than the red circle. All right, I don't know how you... What do you think, man? You're shaking your head. How many of you guys think it's the same size? Have you seen this already? Okay. Guys, the circles are exactly the same size. They're not different size. But do you see how quickly you got manipulated? That's how quick it took for you to go, oh, I don't trust my natural instincts anymore because now he said they're different sizes. I guess I got to pick one where I can see, you know what, I bet it's the border on the blue one. The border on the blue one, that's it. So it's really smaller. Is that what you did? Okay. That's how long it took us to be manipulated. All right. That's how long. Just that quick because I had a microphone in my hand. I told you one of those circles were different. All except for the guys that, have y'all seen this before? Y'all see the little, it was awesome. It got me. I promise you the rest of the sermon is not going to be that little tweet. All right. But it was pretty good. That's how long it took us to create a new tradition. Imagine if you were 4 years old and your mama told you that the blue circle was bigger. And you grew up and you said, well, the blue circle was bigger. And your friends ask you, what circle? What's the blue circle? My mama said it was the blue circle, so it's got to be bigger. And then you're 20 years old, and the blue circle's just always been bigger. It's just a bigger circle. And so we go on throughout our life believing that the blue circle's bigger, and it's really the same size. That's how traditions are started. That's how traditions are started. And we carry on these traditions that sometime are correct and good, and sometime are absolutely false in every way. I mean, sometimes we're just like, well, that's the way mom and daddy did it. That's the way we're going to do it. And that's the way, just the way we do things, okay? And that is not what Jesus came to earth to do at all. Jesus did not come to earth at all to tell you, oh, you guys should probably just keep things the way that they were because they've been working out so well for you. Okay, the world obviously was in need for a Savior at that point in time. But we do that all the time, and we're taught those things. And if we can get a couple of other people to believe them, I had a friend one time. He used to tell everybody when he was growing up, some of y'all may have heard this story before, that he was born on the day that Elvis died. On the exact day that Elvis died, he was born on that day. So he told all his friends about it, and his friends said, hey, he was born on the day that Elvis died. And he grew up, and he was like 20, you know the story, we know what I'm talking about. He was like 20-something years old, and he finally decided to look up some stuff about Elvis. And he wasn't even born in the same year that Elvis died. Much less the same month or the same day. But he spent 20 years of his life, for some reason, I don't think his mom lied to him. He may have picked something like, she was like, you know, you were born about the same time Elvis died. And he was like, I was born when Elvis died. That's my thing now, okay? I don't know when you guys were born, but I'm probably the next Elvis Presley. And so he spent 20 years promoting that about himself. And it was absolutely false. How many things have we been promoting in the house of God that aren't right? Just because someone else decided that that was so. And there's a lot of those things I want to talk about this morning. That's how tradition works, okay? It's an explanation that works for generations that sometimes is just wrong. You guys remember the old stories about how a zebra got its stripes? And you read those books when you were a kid, and how did a zebra get its stripes? People said that because they didn't know. This is the story on how the zebra got its stripes. And for years, until there was this little thing that people discovered called science, that's what they believed. We're told so many worthless traditions and parenting and everything else, and it's just not at all what God tells us to. How many times have you heard that, well, you know, if it's God's will, he'll get up out of that wheelchair? How many times have we been told, well, all we can do is pray about it, brother. I'll pray for you. That's all I can do. Hey, Coach White, why does this happen in the world? Well, you know, I can't really explain those things, but it's all in God's plan. Or maybe that's just something we came up to tell ourselves because we didn't know the answer to the question. Maybe we've been coming up with stuff our entire life about this because we don't understand it. Guess what? His thoughts are higher than our ways. Okay? Maybe we don't get it. But why in the world would we tell ourselves and children's lies to make us feel better? So often we do that. Well, if it's God's will. It is God's will. It's in the book. I've read it. Why doesn't it happen? I don't know. I can't answer that. And it's okay to say I don't know. The worst thing that happens to me as a teacher is when a kid asks me a question, and I don't really know the answer to it. I got two choices. I can kind of pull a politician and sidestep it, or I can be like, is your Google broke? Because I don't know. And I do that one a lot. Is your Google broke? I've said it, haven't I? I've got actual kids here that know that I'm mean to them. Is your Google broke? But I don't know the answer to these things. But what I am tired of, and what I do think God is tired of, is us just pulling something out. God, that's not the right thing. I mean, it's different, I guess, when you're in the classroom as opposed to, like, if my son asks a question and says, hey, Dad, why has this happened? I'm not going to lie to the boy. How much am I setting him back if I lie to him? And he grows up believing that the blue circle is bigger than the red circle. And he tells everybody else. If one can put 1,000 to flight for God, he sure as not can do it for somebody else, too. Okay? And so I'm sick and tired of us just making up the same stuff over and over and over again. And if you don't believe that Jesus came to get rid of that, then I don't know what Bible that you read. Because all throughout the New Testament, there are several instances where he's talking to Pharisees and Sadducees and all these people. And they're saying, well, I don't know if you've read this scripture here. Which, by the way, is just makes me laugh anyway that they're quoting scripture to the Son of God. But I don't know if you've read this, brother, but you didn't wash your hands. Oh, really? Well, you guys missed this other three too. So what's up with that? You know, and so there's several instances, and my favorite instance, because I'm still full of passion and vigor, and I don't know, that's just a part of who I'm made up, is in Matthew 21:12, okay? And some of you Bible scholars may know that one. Some of you might just need to be reminded, this is where Jesus goes full Hulk inside the temple, okay? It's not like, all right, guys, you're going to stop selling stuff. No, the Bible tells us he completely, like, flips out, loses his mind, and absolutely chastises. One book, one accord, and John says that he actually makes himself a whip, tied some cords together, and started swinging it at these folks. Okay, probably not the Jesus most of us think about, but that's my, I like Ricky Bobby, right? With second Ricky Bobby in a month. I like to picture Jesus with a cord in his hand, beating the crap out of the people that are doing the wrong things. I don't know why, but that's just, I like to picture Jesus wrestling, because he did. But anyways, I'm going to read that to you real quick. Starting in verse 12. Jesus entered the, this is the New International Version, not to offend anyone, but just to let you know. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling the animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables and the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, the scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. That was another rule that he broke. Not supposed to do that on that day. Let's see. The leading priests and the teachers of the religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, praise God for the Son of David. But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, do you hear what the children are saying? Yes, Jesus replied. Haven't you ever read the scriptures? Which is funny because, like, they're supposed to be scripture specialists. Haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say, you have taught the children and infants to give you praise. They returned to Bethany where he stayed overnight. So Jesus comes in, and here's the what had happened was. I'm going to do this in class too. What had happened was folks were heading to Jerusalem for Passover. How many of us have heard the term Passover? Please raise your hand. It's okay to do that. How many of us actually know what that is? Okay, a little bit less, all right? And that's okay. That's one thing that we've got to stop doing is just pretending like everybody knows everything about the Bible, because I obviously do not. The Passover is a celebration, right, to where the people would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, all right? And it's not like you hop in a car or the train. You had to walk. Maybe you had a donkey. Maybe you had a camel or some other mode of transportation. But it was not like, hey, we're just going to get in the car, head down the road. They go to Jerusalem, which is the holy city, and they would bring, back when they did it right, they would bring an animal that they had raised, a very valuable animal, because animals were valued back then, not pieces of paper that had presidents on them. You know, those things were valuable, and they had raised this thing, and they had cared for it like it was a loving pet, and they would bring it in to Jerusalem. They would give it to the priest, and they would sacrifice this wonderful thing to say, thank you, God. Thank you so much, okay? And it was not an easy thing, number one. Number one, it was like bringing your pet to get slaughtered, all right? That's not easy to put pets down now. I've got a friend of mine. He coaches with me. He's telling me about this story where his granddaddy had this billy goat, just this large goat, and grandmama got tired of it, so they had to go sell it. So he takes it to the flea market in Collinsville, Alabama, and he takes this goat over there. And it's a good-sized goat, and he's selling this goat, and the guy offers him a fair price for it, and it's breaking his heart just to sell. I mean, this is like his kid, you know? It's funny, kid. All right, so he brings this goat out, and this guy comes up, and he buys the goat, okay? And he's like, well, you mind if I walk into your truck with you? And he's like, man, no, that's fine. So he's walking this goat to say his last goodbyes to his best good buddy. And he gets up to this guy, and he doesn't have a truck. He is in like a Honda Civic. And he's like, dude, you have to go get something else because this goat's not going to fit in the car. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, it will. And he's like, no, man, this goat's going to tear your car up. He's like, no, I'll make it fit. And so the guy turns around to give him like the cage and everything, and this guy pulls his knife out. There in front of the man. Just, there he goes. There's his best good buddy, and he's dead right there. This guy's taking that goat home to eat him, okay? He didn't buy him to be a companion. He was taking him home to eat him. So as you could imagine, yeah, I know, right? I did the same thing that you did when he told me this story. I was like, who does that? People do it, okay? People do it. So I felt for Grandpa in this story, who I've never met. Like, gosh, man, that's terrible. So number one, you've got that aspect. You're bringing your kids on a pilgrimage to get your best good buddy pet killed, right, to give it to God. But here's the other thing that would happen on this pilgrimage. It's not, again, it's a tough journey. It's not like getting in a car. It's tough. There are thieves out there looking to steal stuff from you. You may make a mistake. You may make a wrong turn and get yourself killed because you run out of food and water. Okay, it's a tough thing to do. It requires sacrifice. Okay, it requires a little something extra to make this happen. That was part of the pilgrimage. That was part of saying thank you to God, is, you know what? You've done all these things for me. You delivered, what they were celebrating, by the way, in the Passover was the deliverance when Moses brought the children out of Egypt, right? He brought the children of Israel out, and that's what they're celebrating. And so they're saying, hey, God, thank you so much for not having me in slavery anymore. So I can probably walk a few hundred miles, okay, to tell you thank you for that. And that's what they were doing. So it took sacrifice to do so. And so what had changed over a few hundred years is people stopped doing that, okay? People stopped doing that. And so they made it a little more convenient for people, right? They made it a little more convenient. And they said, look, we know there's thieves out there looking to steal your good animals, and you can make some mistakes. We're going to start selling them here for you guys, all right? We'll feed them. They'll be nice animals, and you can start buying them here. And people are like, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, we can just go do that. And I don't think it started with evil men. I really don't. And I could be wrong. I may get to heaven and God may chastise me and say, well, you taught something wrong on that Sunday in March. But I don't think it started with evil men coming up saying, tell you what would be a good idea, bro. What if we started selling animals here? We can make a little scratch off that thing. Be good. I really don't think that's what it was. I feel like there was probably some people with some good intentions saying, man, I get tired of seeing Joe Bob come up here every other year and he done got taken out by some thieves on the trail, and he ain't got no animal to sacrifice to God. We'll keep some here for him just in case that happens to him, because it happens all the time. He takes the wrong road every time. His animals aren't fed well. We'll keep some here. And listen, it's still a sacrifice, because now they've got to bring in money. You know, they got to find money somewhere, and they've got to give that money. Well, money's a sacrifice. And so I really feel like that's the way that it started. I don't feel like it started with a bunch of evil men trying to make money off of it. And I believe that they used the scripture to justify it. Well, I don't know what else to do, but This sounds like a pretty good answer. I don't know why they're getting out of that wheelchair right there, but we'll keep some wheelchairs here with us just in case somebody breaks a leg. I don't feel like it was intentional. And so I guess the question that God asked me is, how did that happen? How did this change over the past 100 years of people getting in and out of things that are wrong? Because they've got the Bible, they've got Scripture, they've got the Torah right in front of them. They know, they've read these things, they know right from wrong. How did this happen? And I believe it happens the same way we just use these circles. The same way people thought a zebra got its stripes. They tried to figure out a natural solution for supernatural problems. Stop giving your supernatural problems a natural solution, because it won't work. If you're upset, if your heart's broke, if you're fighting depression this morning, I'm going to step on some toes. A natural solution's not going to get it done. Okay? It might help alleviate the symptoms, but popping a pill is not going to make it different. Okay? And I'm just, this is, if God whips me on this, then that's fine. Sid whips me on this, and I'll take that too. But that's not the answer. Okay? That's not the answer. If you're dealing with something, if your marriage is in a tough spot, natural solution of counseling is not going to fix it. It's not. It might put a Band-Aid on it for a little while, and you might feel a little bit better, but it's not going to give you what you need, which is a supernatural move of God. That is the only answer to supernatural problems, is supernatural moves from God. Otherwise, we're just putting a temporary bandage on something. We're creating a tradition and a culture that says, you know what, I don't know, and it's okay that I don't know, so I'll make something else up. That is not what God has asked our church to do. That's not what God has asked His church to do. Not just Victory Fellowship in Bremen, but the church all over the world. We are offering people natural solutions in a supernatural time of crisis. Do you think the political spectrum is natural? Do you think it's just natural? That's not something that's going. All this stuff that people are arguing about now, and good Lord, guys, it gets old. Sometimes you just want to log on to social media and laugh, and you can't, because there's just all this crap that's on there about, well, if you believe in the Second Amendment rights, well, and it's just back and forth. Do you guys think that's natural? It's not, guys, but we look at it and say, well, that's just politics. That's just the way it's going to be. You know, we've elected a king. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's. They need a supernatural solution. And it's you can go to the voting box and you can vote your heart, but they need a supernatural solution. Traditions are not inherently evil. They're not. There's awesome traditions out there that are great. Okay? Awesome traditions out there that are awesome. If you go to SEC football games, every single team has something that they do before the game. And I don't care who you're a fan of, it's going to get you. Okay? You'll get that. Or, you know, it's going to get you. It really will. Okay? And there's some that you like more than others, and that's okay. I did good. I didn't even say anything bad about nobody's team. You can tell this from Jesus this morning. It was hard, Brett. It was hard. However, traditions cannot be accepted as the law of God. We cannot get to the point to where we say, just because it's traditional, it's what God wants. I remember being 17 and wearing a hat into church every single Sunday. And I would almost every single Sunday. It's the only church I've really ever just been a huge member of. Every single Sunday, somebody would say something to me. I'm not going to tell you who it was. They're like, what you got that hat on in church for, boy? And I'm like, I don't know. I ain't seen anything against it. I don't know where the non-hat scripture is in the Bible. And I would be 17 years old, and I'd be one of those little smart tails. And what happens when we get behind tradition is we allow rules to dictate our life. If we're all about tradition, then we now have to follow rules. Well, who made the rules? Wasn't that guy? Because he actually came to get rid of them. He came to get rid of rules, because your relationship with God's completely different than hers. And you can't follow the same rules that she does. Some people in here can't follow the same rules as everybody else. Rules are man-made, guys. God gave us some commandments to follow. They are guidelines, and you don't cross those. There's a few that's like, hey, you don't break that rule. But God's not a rules guy. I tell my guys all the time, I don't believe in rules. I believe in principles. I believe in doing the right thing, whatever that may be. I don't know if I've said this from. I get. How many of you in here are rules people, though? It's okay to be like, you're like, we follow the rules. You are a rules person, aren't you? You follow the rules. You obey the speed limit. Yeah. Yeah, of course I do. I don't. You know why? Because that's not a rule I believe in. Okay? It's not within my principles. It's not within my guidelines. And so I break the speed limit. But there's another rule. I don't kill people. It's not because it's not within my... I believe that it's bad to kill people. That's a bad thing, I think. And so for me, I'm not going to like read the law book and be like, oh, I'm getting rid of that one. Okay? I'm going to keep that one. That one's important. But I don't believe in rules, and you don't either. Otherwise, we wouldn't break that speed limit every time we get behind the wheel of a car. Because we all do it. Because that's not something that convicts us real bad. And so the more we rely on rules, the more we're going to break them. And when we break rules, when we break the rules of God, we feel like that disqualifies us from His openness, right? From all of the walls and rooms that are available to Him. If we make it about tradition and rules, then when we break the rules, we feel like we're not eligible to be there for the payment, okay? And so that's where we get this whole, well, I can't go to church yet because I'm still doing this. And I got to clean myself up and I got to do the right thing, because if I don't, then church ain't going to be right. Where is that? That's something that we have put on ourselves. We have put that on and said, we've got to follow the rules because mama said the blue circle was bigger, and because it's bigger, I've got to do this and this and this, and I, by God, better follow the rules. And if I don't follow the rules, God's going to be disappointed in me. I don't read that in here anywhere, guys. As a matter of fact, I read over and over and over again in the New Testament where Jesus comes to break rules. We call them chains nowadays, okay? Break the chains of you're not good enough off of you. Because guess what? You're not. But He doesn't care, okay? Break the chains of I'm not righteous enough anyway. Well, your righteousness are as filthy rags unto God. So He doesn't care about your righteousness. It's His righteousness that makes it all work. It's the difference. I think Sid was talking about this recently. I think Damon had it on his podcast. That's the difference between what Adam did and what Peter did. If you guys are familiar with what he said. If you talk about, if you look back in Genesis, where the fruit happened, right? It all went down right back then. That's when that happened, okay? When they both ate the apple, or whatever it might have been, probably wasn't an apple, but they ate that piece of fruit, and all of a sudden they had knowledge of good and evil. And then God starts looking for them, and what do? They hide. They try to find clothes now because they know they're naked, and they just don't feel right, and they try to put clothes on, and they hide from God. The one Creator that knows everything about them, that breathed them in, they hide from Him. Peter, on the other hand, after he had denied Jesus 3 times, and did the most unspeakable thing in the world, you know, he's like, I don't know that dude. Right at the moment of need, the moment of crisis, he makes that mistake. And he doesn't run away. He doesn't hide after that. When they hear that Jesus is coming back, what does he do? We've talked about last couple weeks. They're on a boat. They're like, oh, I think that's God out there on the shore. What's Peter do? Jumps off the boat, dives, and runs to Jesus, right? The difference between those two interactions is the covenant that Jesus has made for them. That's the relationship. The relationship in that moment represents the covenant. The new covenant, the New Testament. That relationship is what that is. There's a difference between not having full access to God and having every access to God. That's what you have. There are no rules, guys. There's no rule that says, well, you have to do this, this, and this before you can get this from God. I don't read that anywhere, Brett. I guarantee you know it more than I do. I don't find that anywhere. There's nothing that says, hey, if you want to get closer to God, you have to do this for the next 8 years. It doesn't say that. We place limitations on God because we can't explain God. Stop doing that to Him. Stop hamstringing God. Stop telling Him things that He can't do. Well, you know, you have to go home and do a little fasting first before this happens. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Okay, maybe God says, you know what? Because right here, right now, something needs to be done. I'll use you anyway to do it. Okay, maybe God's just looking for someone to believe that He can do what He says He's going to do, and not just believe the crap we've been fed our whole life because people can't understand this. And that's okay. I can't understand this. I promise you, I can't. They make different versions for people like me. Okay. There are people like me, because I'm like, what does that word mean? I have to look it up. Like, where'd it come from? What translation is? And before too long, I'm just lost. I'm on some rabbit hole looking up other stuff about words. So I need this, okay? I need this. This is not the devil. This is good. And so there's been a lot of things that I've heard recently that have just got me and just snapped me. And I accepted them. I accepted them. Like with our FCA. It's awesome during the fall. I don't know if it's the same with you guys or not. It's awesome during the fall, right? I thought I saw Jess come here. Probably got more people in the fall than you do right now. Safe to say? About the same or less? About the same? That's good. Every spring after basketball kind of ends and stuff like that, and we get into our spring sports, we kind of take a little bit of a dip. And Jay Webb, my guy, that's the dude. If you don't know Jay Webb, then you're missing out. That's a good dude. Jay Webb says, hey, man, you know, sometimes that's just the way it is. You know, it gets smaller in the spring sometimes. You'll be back in the fall. And I was like, yeah, he's right. You know, springtime, we do take a dip. He's right. He's right. All I can do is pray about it. Okay? All I can do is pray about it. Man, you go home, you pray about this situation, and we'll see what happens. Okay? Politics, politics, man. That's separate from everything else, you know. You got to keep those separate. Keep those out of the classroom. Keep those out of, you know, your life, because they're politics. They don't, you know, that's not Jesus. They're politics. And then here's one. It's just the way it is, man. Just the way it is. That's just the way it is. And I am guilty of saying all those things to myself and to other people, and God said, stop doing that, because you're promoting a tradition that is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable for FCA to be smaller during the spring. It's not acceptable. Because I don't read anything in the Bible to where God says, well, I know you've been doing the right thing and all that stuff, but I'm not going to bless you anyway. Okay? If a father loves his son, he's not going to give him a stone when he asks for bread. He's going to give him some doggone bread. And if I can do that for Judah, how much more will the father do it for me? And so I have not because I ask not, and I ask not because I'm told I'm not supposed to. That it's okay. Guys, here's what I want to do right here with this little group. It's okay to believe in God. It's okay. The worst thing that can happen is you're in the same boat that you were before. So why in the world do we put handcuffs on that guy? The worst thing that can happen is you're in the same boat that you were before. So why not put all of our eggs in that basket? Because they're not going away. God's not failing anytime soon. Okay? He's not going to disappear from our lives. He's there yesterday, today, and forever. And so if God is going to break up, if that's the whole point in God being here, why don't we allow him to break those chains? Some people may not believe that God showed up to break rules, so I pulled up a bunch of verses I want to read to you real quick. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from what? Why is that in the Word? He's not talking about the children of Egypt actually having chains on their wrist and now they're free. He's talking about freedom in your life from whatever it is that's got you bound up. Okay? If the Son sets you free, you will be freed indeed. There's a theme here, guys. Why do we continue to say, well, God can't do that in my life. Let me put this chain back on me and I'll carry it with me. Corinthians, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Okay? What are we allowing to be masters in our life? Why do we continually allow the world and our traditions to bind us? You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. This is New Testament, so you know that it actually pertains to us, right? You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you'd like to get free, try that one out. That's like direct instruction of like, hey, listen, don't use your freedom so that you can go out and make yourself happy. Why don't you turn around and find out who needs a little something? Okay? And then maybe your freedom comes in freeing another. Maybe your freedom comes in loving another. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin. Oh, that's good. Good news. So that what was promised, being given through the faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. So the only requirement that I have found to get all of the access to God is to believe. That's it. Not to change your traditions. Just believe in God. That's all He's asking you to do, and all these things can be given unto you. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I fully believe that he's not talking about actual slavery. I fully believe he's talking about the slavery that sin holds us in. I fully believe he's talking about principalities and things that are higher than actual physical ailments and physical things. I fully believe that. So why do we continue to put them on us? In him and through faith in him, may we approach God with freedom and confidence. Well, if you need access to God, there it is right there. In him, we're talking about Jesus, and only through your belief in him can you approach God. Whatever it is that burdens you or ails you, don't take the, well, that's the way it is. Okay, I got a friend. My friend's going to take me to see God, and we're going to see what's going on here. And there may be answers, and there may not be answers, but you haven't lost anything. You're in a better spot than what you were in. Okay? I will walk about in freedom, for I've sought it out. This is all still like New Testament stuff, talking about freedom. I wonder if it's important. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and he brought me into a spacious place of freedom. That was in Psalms. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on talking about freedom and things in freedom that God has given us, guys, over and over and over again. In Psalms, David's talking about wandering through the wilderness and becoming free. It's throughout the entire Bible, and it's not freedom from slavery. It's not freedom from anything else but ourselves and the things that we've put on us, our traditions, our rules, our man-made part of religion. That is the thing that stinks to God the most, because that is the thing that's the most powerful in holding us back. The most powerful thing in holding me back is the fact that I believe that I have to do certain things to get so tight with God to see a miracle happen. That's not what he says. He shows us over and over again in the Word. Random animals in the middle of a road speaking to people. Okay? He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need that donkey to consecrate itself, take the coal to its lips and cry out and shave its head. He wanted it done. He got it done. Okay? The only thing that holds us back from believing in miracles is ourselves. And so the challenge for I think, us today is to really just embrace and look at what is holding me back. Why do I not believe what the Word tells me to believe? Is it because I've been ingrained my entire life to think a certain way? Is it because church has taught me to think a certain way? Because Jesus comes into a temple, a holy temple, and starts flipping tables. You don't think that from time to time tables need to be flipped here at Victory Fellowship? If you don't think so, then you're absolutely wrong. There are times when tables have got to be flipped here because no one had evil intentions. No one said, hey, this is the way we're going to just approach it because we don't have an answer. They did the best they could with natural knowledge, Brett. This is not a knock on anybody. But there's times when the tables need to be flipped in here. There's times when tables need to be flipped in your life, TW, because you think a certain way, and sometimes it's just wrong, man. And that's just us. That's flesh. That is our flesh coming into our life and taking over, and us not killing that fleshly man. And so that's all I think God wants from us today, is to ask ourselves, what is it that's holding me back? What is it that's holding me back from all of that? That song right there, God, that gets me every single time. It's like my jam right now. I know how you get jams, and when it comes on, it's like it just jacks you up. It's my jam because as a human being, those are all things that we worry about with significant others or with people. He's proud to be seen with me, right? You know, doesn't that just jack you up right there? Especially, you know, you think about, guys, this especially you young people, you know how it is, like when you have somebody smile at you the first time and you get all, and you just don't know how to act, you're not cool at all, it doesn't matter what happens, okay? That's how it is with God, and God has no judgment. He looks at you completely pure. His love's not jealous, right? It's not unashamed. It's absolutely perfect in every way. And when I hear that, when I see that, it reminded me that all these things that God told us we could do are unlocked for us. There's not one thing that's not open to you, Lisa. Not one thing. There's nothing that says you can't go to the next kid you see in a wheelchair and snatch that joker up. Not one thing. There's nothing that's binding you from that. There's not one thing that's binding you from walking in to your place of business and just snatching somebody that has no clue who God is, and all of a sudden you're praying right there in the classroom with them. There's nothing that stops us but us and our traditions and our backwards thinking sometimes. And so, I don't know if you want to play. Yeah, let's play some CD music, okay? That way everybody has an opportunity to spend some time with God this morning, including myself. All I'm asking you this morning, because I feel like that's what God wants me to ask you this morning, is what is it? What is it that's telling you that you can't do something that's supernatural? Because God has placed no limitations on that. God has placed no limitations on how much access you have in the supernatural. You have access to everything. You have access to healing. You have access to praying in tongues. You have access to prophecy. You have access to all of the things that God has offered, not because of your good works, not because of your righteousness, but because of who He is and your belief in Him. The only requirement that we found this morning is that you had to believe in Jesus. That was it. All you had to do was believe in Jesus. That's the only requirement that you had. So if you'll stand up for me, just because we're going to posture ourselves correctly to God this morning, and God, I pray that we just get some stuff out of our system and we start thinking differently. We start thinking in His ways being higher than our ways, all right? Lord, we just come to You this morning, Father. And God, I pray that You absolutely just wreck us, Lord. I want You to invade our life this morning, Father, because if we are going to be a people of purpose, if we're going to be a people that actually makes a change and makes a difference and impacts the world, You have got to invade our life, God, and You've got to get rid of all the things that we've been hanging on to. You've got to get rid of all the things that we think that we thought. You've got to replace it with Your thoughts, Father God, in Your ways. So this morning, God, we just come to You, Father, humbly, and we confess out loud this morning, we have no clue Your ways. We have no clue Your thoughts, God. We have no clue what's right and what's wrong, but we want to just open ourselves up to You, God. Open up our minds to You and say, teach us. Father, teach us. Show me what You want me to do, God. All we do is believe in You this morning. And Lord, I pray that You would challenge our thoughts as we move throughout this week, God, as we go on, God. Any time that we catch ourselves saying something that's traditional, God, I pray supernaturally You catch that thought in our mind. And we question it. And we ask the question, why? Why do I believe that? Why is that right? And if it's right, then we move on. And if it's not, we stop right then and there, and we make up in our minds and we determine, Father God, that we're going to do whatever it is You say. So God, I just thank You this morning. God, I just pray right now, if there's anybody in here, Father God, that needs just to know You a little bit closer, Father God, I pray that now is that opportunity for them as well, God. Because the whole cog on all this, Father, is belief in You. And it doesn't matter how much Bible we know. It doesn't matter how much right things we do. If we don't believe in the Savior, none of the rest of this matters. So, Lord, we just love You and we thank You and we praise You, Father God. And I thank You for this altar, Father God. I thank You that we can take time and spend it with You this morning. So if you need to come this morning, come this morning. just want to take a couple of more minutes this morning. For some reason, I just feel like God told me to just keep this thing for just a second longer. There may be somebody debating in their seat whether or not to move on God this morning or to give God access to a certain spot. And so, you know, we're going to wait a couple of more minutes. I guess if we can catch the lights, make things a little more comfortable. Just pray in the name of Jesus, God, right now, Father God, that whatever your will is this morning, that it would be done, Father God, that you would call those to you, Father. I pray that wherever you are right now in your seat, I pray that you'd make that your altar. God says that He loves you right now. As you sit there, as you stand there, God says that He loves you right now and that it's all going to be okay. Whatever it was, whatever it is, whatever that thing is that's just got you right now, that's got you to where you can't even move, God, let God wash that away from you right now. Whatever it is that's got you and it's grabbed you right now and it's got you almost paralyzed, let the Lord take that away from you this morning. Let Him take that away from you this morning. It's not yours to hold on to. It's not yours. Don't let it live with you anymore. It's not yours to hold on to. Couple more minutes.
Just real quick, you can keep the music going. Just to tag what Brother Nick has brought, and I probably missed this by 30 minutes. And if you think it's coming through a vessel that's lived pure and holy, and if you only knew what was behind this veil, that's a whole other story for another day. But everything Brother Nick has said to this point is lined right up with what I felt like God had laid on my heart before the service. I was prompted two songs into worship to come say something, and I didn't because of some of the choices I've made recently, which lines up with what Nick just spoke about. The tradition or the misconception that for whatever reason, so I got to do penance, I got to pay penance before I can be used. But I felt like two songs into worship that somebody in here, and it may just be one person, it could have been me, you've misread a difficult season in your life right now, difficult circumstances, as God, for what, either God being angry at you, or maybe not even angry, I didn't even feel that, but just for, until that's rectified, His hand seemingly is off your body, His breath's not blowing, you don't feel the grace that maybe you once did, and there may be something legitimately going on. May not be anything you've done wrong. Maybe it's pain or hurt because you haven't seen God move the way you felt like He did. I know we sang a song earlier, God's faithful, He'll never let you down. Guess what? Circumstances will. Believing in God and having the faith of a mustard seed or the faith as big as a mountain, it doesn't mean the circumstances will change. God will not let you down, but circumstances will. I don't know if you need to just in your seat come forward for prayer. I don't know what it is, but and I should have said it 40 minutes ago, and I apologize to you that I didn't. But I just felt real strongly that somebody's misreading some difficult circumstances that as God taking His hand, not loving you, but His hand of grace and blessing has been lifted. That's not true. That is a lie. And I just felt like that don't wait till you feel that again to move. Does that make sense? We've all went to the altar when we felt it. But God was wanting to say, don't wait till you feel it. Like, you don't wait to forgive. You don't wait till you feel like forgiving to forgive. You do it by faith. You do it out of obedience. So if that's you, step forward out of faith and obedience by faith that you serve a good God. Because if you wait till you feel it, it might be another month that you don't have to feel the way you're feeling right now anymore. If you'll step out in faith and let God breathe on you. Amen?
I read some scripture this morning. For some reason, I just feel like somebody in here needs to hear it. I'm going to insert you where it says me. If somebody in here needs to hear it, it's Isaiah 49. It says, listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before you were born, the Lord called you. From your mother's wombs, He has spoken your name. He made your mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of His hands, He hid you. He made you into a polished arrow and concealed you in His quiver. That was from before you was even conceived. Before time. We were made as an arrow and put in His quiver. We're a tool to be used in His hand. And as Nick was preaching, the lies of the enemy that is binding you is stopping you from being that effective quiver. I'm guilty. Forgive me. But there's somebody in here that is standing behind the lies of the enemy and stopping and not coming down here. And getting ahead of those lies of the enemy and being where God wants you to be. So just take a couple more minutes and let the Holy Spirit work.
I believe what Brett was saying, it hit my spirit, and it's hit my spirit a couple weeks now, and I'm not even the one that should say this, because I have believed this in my own life for physical. But there is a direct physical problem God wants to heal you from in your physical body. It's either physically seen, physically felt, and you know, and you have believed with all your heart that the physical problem in your body is because of a direct result of a sin or a choice that you made that was wrong. You feel like you sinned, and then as a result of the sin, this happened, and that's why we got to deal with it. So now we got to go through treatments. Now we got to go through the counseling. Now we got to go through the dealing and the endurance and the pain every single day. God's grace is bigger. Oh, my Lord, His grace is so much bigger than that. His grace, look at the cross. Look at what He did on the cross. He doesn't see that anymore. He doesn't see you in that sin anymore. His grace is bigger than the physical problem that you're having in your body. It is not a direct result of the sin because He's already taken care of that. His grace is enough to take care of it. I'm talking about sexually transmitted disease. God's grace is enough to take care of that. A choice you made? Maybe so. God's grace is bigger. I'm talking about that eating issue that you felt like, well, if I didn't eat this way, if I did not do X amount of exercises, this wouldn't happen in my physical body. God's grace is enough. His healing power is enough to heal you in your physical body, regardless of a choice that you feel like you made to get yourself there. It is not like that. God's grace is bigger than that. God's grace is enough, and His healing power is ready to work inside of you if you choose to believe Him. And that's it. Choose to believe Him.
You got a little upset with how long we've waited for some folks this morning, then shame on you. You know, because at one point in time, we were all the one, right, that God took a little extra time for. And so, God, thank You for that this morning, Father. I thank You for the word that went forth. And it's not coming back void. Okay, it's not coming back void. That word that Brett and Jamie both just gave, we know there's somebody that is sitting there that's not a, it's not a guess, okay? But it's not coming back void. And so I just pray right now as we continue on and all that God, wherever it happens, God. But we continue to pray pressing and just continue to pressure until that situation's relieved, God. And we just thank You for that, God. This time I'm going to yield to my associate pastor to get us out of here or whatever it is.
Well, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him. Pray for each other. Anytime seeds are planted, and I believe a lot of seeds were planted today, spiritually and every other way, the enemy will come in and try to get that seed before it takes root, before it flowers. So we just, let's pray for each other the next few days and through this next week that everything that God begun today, he'll do His part, let's do ours. And let's pray grace and strength on each other to do our part. Amen. Father, we just thank You. I thank You. As Sister Linda said at the beginning of the service, and it wasn't because of a righteous 48 hours before walking in here, but Your presence was tangible immediately. We're not worthy of that. But Father, You love us enough, and Your grace is sufficient. And we just thank You for meeting us here today, Father God. But You'll still be as real as we allow You to be for the remainder of this day and into next week, each and every day. Your mercies are new every day, every morning. And I just plead the blood of Jesus, just as they did in Egypt and the death angel had to pass over. We plead the blood of Christ over the doorpost of each heart in this place, over every seed planted. And we thank You by faith for what that does in the spirit realm. Father, we just exalt You and we praise You. We thank You for meeting us here. May we hunger and thirst for You this week, Lord, because You say if we do, You'll fill us. And we just thank You by faith for that. Lord, we love You and we praise You. And we thank You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are dismissed. Thank You. Thank You. Just let's go have a good week in the Lord this week. Amen. Yes, reminder, tonight at 5:30, the youth at the church tonight, invite people. Bring them in here. Amen.